Revelation chapter 1. Very pleased to see each one of you here tonight. We thank you for coming again. For those who may be here for the first time, we extend a very hearty welcome to you. Remember, the meetings continue each night, except Saturday at 8 o'clock, preceded and followed each night with a prayer meeting. Revelation chapter 1. Let us read verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Turn back to the book of Isaiah, if you will, please, chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. And let us read verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? I turn to the Gospel of Luke, please. Chapter 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Verse 26. Then shall ye begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, their last shall be first, and their first which shall be last. Now look at chapter 16. Reading verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Revelation chapter 1, a reading of a future event, when every eye shall see him. In Isaiah chapter 33, we read there, that thou shalt see the king in his beauty, and behold the land that is very far off, or the land of far distances. In Luke chapter 13, we have men and women, boys and girls undoubtedly, that will in a future day see loved ones in the kingdom of God, and they themselves thrust out. In Luke chapter 16, we have a man in hell, lifting up his eyes in torments, and he sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus, the beggar that he despised on earth, secure and comforted in the bosom of Abraham in paradise. In Revelation chapter 1, the verse we read, 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. He also has pierced him, and all nations shall wail because of him. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is a very blessed and a marvelous subject. We haven't time tonight in the opening part of the meeting to say very much about it, but a few words I think will be in order. Those of you that are familiar with your Bibles and this truth will well realize that the coming of our Lord Jesus, yet future, the second coming of Christ, is in two stages. The first stage is when he comes to the air with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are raised first. And we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That first phase of his coming may occur tonight. We know of no scripture remaining to be fulfilled until that great event. And this is what the church, the people of God today, are waiting for, to hear the shout. He'll not come to the earth on this occasion. He'll come to the air, and his voice will resound throughout all the earth, and every living saint of earth, on earth, every soul truly born again, will rise with power, or the mighty power of God, to meet him in the air. At the same time, the graves of believers, all that have died in Christ down through the ages, those graves will open, and those bodies will rise, and their spirits are already, their souls in heaven. Body and soul will be reunited. The body is changed, fashioned like unto its own glorious body, to be forever with the Lord. Great events will take place following that. In the book of Revelation, we have chapter 6 on to the end of chapter 19, or into chapter 19, the great events that will occur on earth. There will be tremendous developments on earth. The church gone, the salt of the earth removed, the powers of wickedness will overflow. Satan will have his way on earth for a time, and that eventually the judgments of God are poured out on a period of 7 years or more, from the rapture of the church until he appears in glory, which we have in Revelation 1 and verse 7. That is not the rapture that we speak of in Revelation 1 and 7. It is his future coming to glory, in glory. Throughout the Gospels, apart from John 11 and John 14, all the references to the coming of the Lord Jesus will be his coming to the earth. And let me say that the great tribulation and all the judgments of God during those chapters of Revelation poured out upon the earth will occur between the rapture of the church and his coming to the earth, to the world, to the earth in judgment. That will be a terrible day for ungodly men. In the book of Revelation, we have armies, tens of millions, yea, into the hundreds of millions of men gathered together in warfare. And these nations assembled there in the land of Palestine and in that area, one against another. But when the Lord appears in his glory, they'll turn against him. He'll come as the mighty warrior in heaven. In chapter 5, we see the Lord Jesus in the midst of the throne in heaven as a lamb, as he had been slain. But we read him as a lion of the tribe of Judah. As a lion of the tribe of Judah, the strongest of animals, the lion represents the Lord Jesus in his power and his glory. When he comes to the air, no eye on earth will see him. Those that are saved by grace will rise and meet him in the air. Maybe I might pause here for a moment and ask you in the meeting tonight, are you ready for this coming? If that voice were to sound from heaven tonight, and the Lord Jesus come to the air, and every child of God rise to meet him, where will you be, my friend, let me ask you? Are you ready to meet him? Are your sins forgiven? Are you born again by the Spirit of God? Are you on the way to heaven tonight, or on the way to hell? Where are you tonight? Where will the coming of Christ find you if he came tonight as he may? What will your destiny be? I can visualize in my mind the possibility of unsaved ones in our meeting tonight being alive on earth when the events we have in the book of Revelation will be fulfilled. And when you may see him in all his power and glory and he comes to judge the earth. For Isaiah 26 tells us the Lord will come out of his place to judge the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will uncover her slain and so on. The Lord is coming in judgment. Men realize today that something's going to take place. You often hear the expression, things can go on as they are going. And we know that is true. They can't. The Lord Jesus is going to take care of things on earth. He'll come secretly to the air for his own and take them out of the scene. When he appears in glory, as we have in Revelation chapter 19, for there the seer sees the heavens open,
and the rider on the white horse, our Lord Jesus, as the mighty conqueror, King of kings and Lord of lords. He'll come forth in power and glory resplendent to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. That will be a terrible day for this world. This world that you see today that seems so attractive, young man, it's going to pass away in due time. The sins that are committed in the world today, God is going to judge them in due time. This world will have to answer for the way they treated the Son of God when he came and they crucified him, and the way that they rejected the message of his grace. God has a score to settle with this world, and the time is coming, and the Lord Jesus will be the avenger of God's justice upon men on earth when he appears in all his power and glory. The inhabitants of the earth are going to mourn. In the book of Zechariah, we read in chapter 12 that he's going to come forth, and every eye will see him as we have in Revelation, and all the kings of the earth will wail because of him, and they'll mourn for him as when that mourneth for his firstborn son, and they look upon him whom they pierced. The Jews especially will see him in his power and glory. There will be a remnant that will be faithful to him and receive him as the Messiah. But apostate Israel will go down under his wrath and judgment. The great tribulation awaits men upon earth. And the terrible slaughter in that day when the Lord Jesus appears in his glory with all the armies of heaven with him. And human blood will flow as rivers of water, rivers of blood. Revelation says to the horses' bridles, such a scene of carnage the world has never seen. So great will be the destruction of human life and so many the carcasses wasting on earth that God will call for the powers and the beasts of the earth to come to the great peace that he has prepared. You have this in the book of Ezekiel. We have it again in the book of Revelation. I want to say to you, unsaved one, in this gathering, it's time you're getting this matter of your soul salvation settled. The Lord Jesus might come tonight and you'll be left behind. Left for certain judgment, left for the sinner's doom. We plead with you tonight to consider the matter of your soul salvation. Come with me for a minute or two to Isaiah chapter 33, which links right on with this coming of our Lord Jesus to the earth. Matthew tells us, or the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, that his coming will be as a lightning that flashes from one end of creation to the other, that every eye will see him, and they'll wail because of him. You come not in mercy, you come in wrath. Men will call to the rocks, and to the mountains to fall on them, and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. The hidden writer well wrote those words, O awful day, who would not be? Hidden, O Lamb of God, in thee, safe by thy side, were wild and loud the shrieks of that unnumbered crowd, shall rend the heavens and fill the skies, till judgment doom will seal their cries. Look with me in Isaiah 33. Back in verse 14, had we read it, we read of sinners in Zion, and we read of hypocrites. And they are afraid. And the question is asked, who will dwell with their devouring fire? I think this has reference to the Lord in the glory of his justice and his holiness. When he appeared in Mount Sinai long ago, as you have in Exodus 24, the sight of the glory of God was like devouring fire. That's how he appeared to Israel in that day, as devouring fire. We have reference to this again in an earlier chapter of Isaiah. The Lord is devouring fire. In the book of Hebrews we read, our God is a consuming fire. In the holiness of his being, sinners will melt before him. He'll search them out. Their sin will be revealed. And the sinners will be afraid. And fearfulness will surprise the hypocrites. Then we have a solemn question. Who among us shall well, with the everlasting burnings. That's one of the most solemn verses in the Bible. I want to repeat it to you tonight. I want you unsaved ones to listen to it. Let me ask in the side of the building, and in the middle, and in the side. Who among us will dwell with the everlasting burnings of hell? That's the question. We believe in a real hell of fire and torment. The Bible teaches. We read of men that will be tormented day and night forever and forever. The fires of that burning lake that we read of in the book of Revelation 5 times, they are eternal. And unconverted sinners and the great white throne will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. The second separation from God. You're separated from Him tonight by your sin. That will be the final separation from God. Into the dark abyss of the lake of fire. Who among us? I wonder, is it possible I'm speaking to some soul in the meeting tonight that's going to miss God's salvation, trifling with your soul, putting it off from day to day, hoping someday to be saved, but not now? Is it possible there may be one in our gathering tonight that's going to dwell forever and forever in the lake that burns a fire and brimstone? I want that question to sink into your soul tonight, young man, young woman. Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burdens? In the next verse, we see a different class altogether. We have men that are righteous. And there's a manifestation of their righteousness. And these are the ones that he says will see the king in his beauty and behold the land that is very far off, the land of our distances. This will be the final outcome of the appearing of our Lord Jesus in all his power and glory, to destroy the powers of earth and punish the earth for their iniquities. Under the wreck and ruin of the nations of earth, the Lord Jesus is going to establish a kingdom. And the righteous on earth will enter into that kingdom. And the Lord Jesus will be the rightful king. He refused his throne on earth. Instead of a throne, they lifted him up on the cross of Calvary with his nails pierced, his hands pierced with nails, his back lacerated and torn by Pilate's scourge, and a crown of thorns on his brow. When the righteous of that day will see him, he'll be the king in his beauty. It'll be a marvelous sight. I anticipate that day. For on this very earth of the Lord Jesus has been dishonored, where he is formerly crucified and cast out, and where he is still rejected by men. In the majority, in that day, on the throne that is rightfully his, in all the glory and beauty of his personally be displayed. And the universe of God will join in worship and adoration and homage to him. God will vindicate his blessed Son on the very earth where men crucified him and cast him out. Let me ask you tonight, my friend, will you see him in his glory then? Among the ransoms of the Lord that will enter into the blessings eternal? Or are you going to still refuse his grace and go on in your sin and miss God's salvation and find yourself lost forever? I hope that unseen one tonight you'll stop. Consider these matters. Consider your soul and where you'll spend eternity. This is what we're interested in. Not merely to give you an outline of events that are yet to come, but speaking of these, I hope it'll impress upon you the importance, the great importance of attending to the matter of your soul's salvation. Now is the time. Tomorrow might be too late. If the Lord were to come tonight, your doom would be sealed eternally. Tonight the door is open. The Savior is calling. The precious blood still avails to cleanse your sins away. What will you do with Jesus? What will the answer be? Thine eyes shall behold the King in his beauty. There have been many kings crowned with great pomp and ceremony, but there will never be one like this. He'll have a title that none other ever has had. In the Old Testament there are kings, and they're called King, the King of Kings, more than one, Nebuchadnezzar. And Ahasuerus, maybe others, they're called King of Kings, because they had subdued kingdoms, and there are kings under their authority. But our Lord Jesus, in addition to that, He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He'll be the highest of all in the universe of God.
God has committed all judgment to the Son. He'll execute judgment upon men on earth before He takes His kingdom and reigns.
The land that is very far off, that suggests to us the sweeping, the great panorama, the far-reaching effects, and the peaceful rule that will be the earth will experience under Him. The land of far distance has all creation brought in subjection to Him.
It'll be a glorious day for this poor earth, reeked with iniquity,
defiled by sin, reckoning for the judgment of God.
In that day, things will be different. But unseen one, if you go on without Christ, you'll never see the joys of that day. Your experience will be like we have there in Luke chapter 13. There the Lord Jesus spoke of people who on earth said, "We've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." But he'll say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." There'll be men that thought they were saved. There were men that ate and drank in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Those that associated with the people of God and took the name of a Christian. And Matthew says, some of them will say, "We've not only eaten and drunk in thy presence, we have prophesied in thy name we've cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works." But he'll say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Who were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? These were the patriarchs, the fathers of the nation. Abraham, the man of faith that was justified before God by faith. He believed what God said, and he was justified by faith. Isaac was the man that stood and saw a ram die on the altar in his stead, a picture of God's salvation. Jacob was a man that could look back to a time in his life, 70 years at least before his death, and he said, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." These men had dealings with God. These men were right with God. These men were in the paradise of God. And these will say, the Savior said, "You'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Is there an application of that here for us tonight? I believe there is. There's some of you in the meeting tonight unsaved. Your father and mother are on the way to heaven, and you are not. If you still His call refuse, if you miss God's great salvation, as you may, but we hope not. But if the day will come, a future day, when you see father and mother, and maybe brother and sister, some of you may see a wife in heaven and you will be in hell. A wife may see the husband in the glory and you shut up. We're not speaking about the geographical situation here. We're speaking about the moral situation that's in view. That men will realize loved ones in the glory and they themselves thrust up. It's a solemn thing to contemplate. I've lived long enough to see and to experience in sympathy with others, some of the sorrow that people of God have experienced by loved ones, even children dying in their sin, and lost whatever. Parents have prayed for you. Others have prayed for you. You've been pleaded with. You know the way of salvation. Yet you go on in your sin. There's a solemn possibility awaiting that in that coming day, at the great white throne of judgment before you're banished into the lake of fire, you see loved ones in the glory, and you yourself thrust up. In Luke chapter 16, we have the rich man. He died
and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment. He saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, in comfort, in paradise, and he tormented in the flames. Corresponding with what we've just been saying from Luke chapter 13, the solemn possibility of seeing loved ones in the glory and you yourself cast out into the outer darkness forever. These are solemn matters. These are not the theories of the theologian or the preacher. These are the realities of the Word of God, and you have to deal with them, dear unseen one. You have a soul that needs to be saved. A soul that may perish forever, in spite of the fact that Christ has died to put your sins away. And the night is pleading with you through the gospel to come and receive him and be saved. Our prayer is, dear unseen one, that you'll give attention to what you hear. Now, in the latter part of the meeting, coming from hearts that are concerned about your welfare, we want to see you saved. We want to see you delivered from wrath to come. We want to have you with us in the glories of heaven. Come to Christ tonight. Receive him and be saved for his name's sake.